Morning, everybody, and welcome to Chatting Between Takes. Oh man, I'm using my new headset today. I got this sweet pair of RHA headphones. For anyone who's a techno geek like me, it's a 750 inline mic model. I am. These things are fantastic. Not sponsored by anything. My opinions are not bought and sold, my friends. I actually want to talk about that a bit today. Not in any sort of wank political way, but in a, like, feeling awesome kind of way. So I'm driving out to Milton right now. I'm going to go for a special screening of Barn Wedding at the Milton Film Fest. And do a little Q&A after with the people who are interested. We're actually doing great. I think we've sold the most of any daytime showing tickets. And then they've got like Trumbo and movies like that at night. Sort of more Hollywood type, you know, Oscar nom films. So I'm not too worried if we don't beat their ticket sales. But I'm glad we're doing great for the daytime stuff. I have mixed feelings about Barn Wedding right now. You know, I don't mind sharing with you guys because I always like to present myself as winning. And big picture, yes, obviously I'm winning. You know, I've got my limbs. There's no forecast of an immediate death, and I have friends and family. Honestly, that's winning, right? Like, it's not the other stuff. But, you know, this movie's been a little frustrating because we have distribution offers, and this is my first film, right? And I'm sort of going it alone right now. The other producers are working on other things, and these distribution offers don't include upfront money. Even though they project, you know, seven figures at the high end of what we could earn. But the low end and the most typical end is your movie gets distributed, people get to see it, you know, on whatever the video on demand or possible theatricals are in different countries. But we don't really see any money. I'm just speaking the reality of most independent film. But we still need like 20 to 25 grand to finish this movie. And by finish it, I mean you could watch it at home and think it's done, but the quality control global spec for how it has to sound to be on iTunes in Romania, that adds that's a whole nother level of technical post-production that we haven't done yet. And it's tough, man. It's really hard to get this money, you know. I purposefully went with the actors I wanted who weren't just from TV shows that are on air, you know? And one of my frustrations with the biz is sometimes you get a gig, you're not amazing, but just because you're on air, you get another gig. And hey, it's happened to me. This is how I got my second big job, is that I was on the first show, and I fit the mold for the second one, and I really stressed that I don't think I did a good enough job on the first show. You might disagree, and that'd be lovely if you did, but I don't think that I necessarily then earned beating out everybody else. Maybe I did, you know, but we know that earning's not much a part of this deal. You know, that's sort of a childhood way of thinking of a meritocracy that the entertainment industry is in no way based on. Period. Because anybody who's complaining that I cast my girlfriend as a lead in a film has a pretty legit, like, well, why didn't I get to read for that? And it's because that wasn't open for discussion. You know, that's how that was happening. And plus, she's a co-producer and co-creator. So even there, I mean, that's a little different when you create your own work. You definitely get to pick your part at that point, I would hope. But so anyways, the long and the short of it is that I have no idea if I'm just going to release this thing on Vimeo so you can all watch it for free, or if we're going to find some money and then get it distributed. The thing is, these distribution models today, to my understanding, and again, I don't know, don't equal payback. You know, if you think about it, Facebook means you're globally distributed. Obviously, Vimeo, that's got a film community around it, and little Vimeo awards. I shouldn't say little. I have this old school way of thinking that if it's not a studio or network release, it's little. But anyway, that's just where I'm at with this, you know, like, I feel a little bit like a sales guy with my little suitcase and my sort of, you know, becoming tatty suit, like it's in need of a dry clean, going out to Milton, flogging the wares a bit. And it's not like I actually think someone in Milton's going to go, hey, how do I help you finish production on this film? But it is one of those things where, given what I've already invested in and where we're already at, I don't personally have that available to finish the film, and I definitely want to partner with somebody, and I'm not finding that partner right now. We do have options through Telefilm and that kind of thing. Anyways, just to keep you guys apprised, we're making movies and listening, you know, it's even when it's done, even when, you know, three different companies want to distribute it. But money where mouth is a lot more than paper deal that equals recoupment of expenses for them without us maybe getting paid. It's real hard to want to pony up the money personally, or, like, you know, have people who I could get the money from if I looked them in the eye. Obviously, there'd be written structure to it, and find this money. But I'm not sure that... It's one thing if someone partners as an investment. It's another if I'm going to one of my currency wells. You know what I mean by that. Like, it might not be the time. It might be a great first experiment, this film. And the time for that, listen, this is when I'm asking you. And when we'll both profit, I'm not sure that's this one. Anyways, that's where I'm at with that. Okay, what I was talking about at the beginning is, I've been thinking about this a lot. I just bought a book called Urban Monk. And I'm barely into it, but I really love the premise of it, which is simply, it's sort of the all or nothing aspect. So I'm always going on and off Instagram, on and off Facebook, and part of my reason for doing that is that when I'm on Facebook, I'm like on it all the time, and when I'm off, it's not that hard not to want to go on it. But we live in 2016, Facebook exists, it's why half of you know the podcast exists, blah, blah, blah. You've heard me go on and on about this. So... how do I, without going and metaphorically, you know, kneeling under a waterfall and eating nothing for 7 years and cutting off my eyelids so I don't fall asleep while meditating, short of that, because I'd actually probably be able to do that better than just not look at Instagram if the icon's on my phone. And those of you who know me know I'm telling the truth. Like, you want me to do the extreme thing? Okay. You want me to live in the middle? Where it's a healthy balance of A, B, and everything in between. You're killing me. You're fucking killing me. So, this book talks about how to have that sense of honor for time and self and spirit and all that without having to tune out from society because, again, unless we're going to do that, we're not going to do that. And I'm not going to do that. I actually like so much of what urban society offers. So I'm really excited to dig into this. You can be sure I'll reference it a lot. So for me, what occurred to me was, you know, when I was a kid, I'd just turn on the TV, maybe at noon if I was coming home to watch Leave It to Beaver. And then for a short spell, Batman reruns were on, the old Adam West. Oh, the best. If you think you know Batman and you haven't watched all of that series... if you've never had a crush on Lee Meriwether, you don't know Batman. I guarantee it. Yeah, period. So, and then maybe after school for an hour, you know, I'd watch the Three's Company, the WKRP reruns, and that'd be kind of it. You know, we didn't really watch much TV at night because my parents did. So, but my point is this, you know that TV exists to hold your attention from one ad to the next. And that newspapers exist to hold your attention from one ad to the next. Well, look, Instagram and Facebook no longer exist without that being their model, right? I mean, if I look up survival knife, a day later, all along the right and left side of my feed is every place in Toronto that offers survival knives. I don't really care. I'm not worried about Big Brother and all that stuff. Like I say, I just assume nothing online is anonymous, you know. Period. I just really don't. And that might be a sad thing, but honestly, it goes to media savvy. I read, you know, Brave New World, and I read 1984 when I was like 12 or 15 or whatever. And, you know, my mom came from Nazi Germany. Do you think I think that anything's private? I'm not a conspiracy theorist, even if it's just people being able to hack it. It's no different than someone figuring out the combo to your little locked journal when you were a kid. You know, I just don't assume it, and that's whatever. There's no negative to that. But my point is, advertising is fundamentally based on the idea that you're not good enough as you are. And good living is fundamentally based on the idea that you're enough, you have enough, and you might want to work a little bit in a satisfying manner to grow something or change something or learn something. It's not about being utterly satiated all the time, but on that deep level, knowing that you're enough. And by the way, if you're listening to this, I don't care who you are, what you've done, where you're at, I promise you, you're enough. Except for those people from Sarnia who decided one New Year's Eve that they were just going to find a person at random, murder them, did it, just confessed to the capital crime. They're not enough, and I'll personally handle the execution should we allow such a thing. Everybody else listening, I can't imagine those two are, you're enough. You don't need the new whatever. Now, you know how much I like retail. That's why this isn't any kind of fucking lefty rant. This isn't anything to do with that. But it really has to do with, if I wake up and look at Facebook, and my point with the TV is, yes, it used to do that and make me think I needed the new G.I. Joe thing. And then guess what? I'd hound my mom for the new G.I. Joe thing. So that's how effective it is. Billions of dollars aren't spent on this because it doesn't work. But again, the fundament is you don't have enough yet. You're not enough yet. Now imagine if you had a friend who came over, and of course there's different analogies for this, but imagine you had a friend who came over and just went, those pants seem a little out of date. You'd be like, huh? And then they're like, wow, your hair could really use a better product. You go, what? And then they start going, ooh, these pots and pans in your kitchen, not really the best you could get, are they? And I'm even talking within your affordable range. I'm shocked you're still using these. You'd fucking hoof that friend in the groin and tell him to fuck the fuck off. Or you should, by the way. Because if you have a friend like that, remember, unsolicited advice is criticism, especially if it's that overt. Now look, I get that something like Instagram advertising is more subtle. If any of your friends have more than, 10,000 followers, they've either bought their followers. By the way, look at likes, not followers. If somebody has 20,000 followers but only gets 400 to 1,000 likes a photo, most of those followers are bought and paid for. I'll use my friend Elise. She's got like 50,000 followers, and she posts things and then has 10,000 likes. Those are actual fans of her work. There's a big difference. But in any case, at a certain point, if you see a girl with 100,000 followers on your Instagram and she's wearing a dress, she probably didn't pay for that dress. Now look, I know what I like when I'm spending my own money, but I'll wear most things sent to me for free. You see what I'm getting at? So now you're looking at a girl who you're following on Instagram because you seem to like her, or you're intrigued by her, or you're wanking off to her, ayo, as an actor said to a bishop, and she's wearing something that's being sold to you. So it's a little more insidious. So imagine you had a friend show up. Fuck, I think to some people I'm this friend. And they're like, hey, look at my new watch. Hey, look at my new pants. Hey, look at my new boots. Oh my God, I just went to Cabo. Let me show you all the photos. My life is perfect. Point is, are you spiritually feeding yourself when you're allowing into your head and your heart and you're feeling, I'm not enough, and this little friend of yours, quote-unquote social networking, is telling you that you're not enough, that you maybe need something newer, that you maybe need something better. Now, this is where my brother's interesting, because he just has a way healthier relationships with this stuff. Like, he doesn't have my sort of addict mindset. And so he's like, oh, I just really like knowing what my camp friends are up to, and one of the women just went on a trip, and I kind of want to know how that resort is, because I'm thinking of going to that place with my family. And you know, so he's online, but he's not like interwoven the way I seem to get. And also I think part of it is that I'm promoting myself so much that I'm therefore part of the promotional aspect, and therefore as we know, I'm in the fight, and therefore I'm vulnerable to getting hit. But anyways, I'm just throwing that out there. If you're waking up on a Sunday and you're checking your Facebook, not only are you looking at the actual friends of yours doing things you're not, but you're also getting the advertising along the way. You're getting that stuff embedded in your feed that after a while you don't realize is an ad. So just putting that out there. I'm not going off Facebook this week. I'm good with it this week. But you know what I'm saying? If I want to eat healthily and not go to McDonald's, it's actually a little easier, I find, than social networkingly being healthy, because it's an overt, like, you're never mistaking you're in McDonald's. You're just in McDonald's. Whereas on social networking, a lot of it is, you know, The Hidden Persuaders or Subliminal Seduction. These are two great books from, I think, the 50s and 60s. And you know, the overt ones are like actually making. There were some Playboys, no joke, because Playboy was softcore, and my dad actually had one of these in the attic. Therefore, I ended up with them, and then I'd put them under my bed, and then they disappear from my bed, as would the Kleenex next to my bed that, you know, I always had a cold, right? Anybody else have a lot of colds from age 13 to 15 or still? Ayo! There was one centerfold, and I think there were a few, where if you held them up, what was printed on the back would look like penetration. Because obviously they weren't showing that in a Playboy, but if you held it upright, you'd see something like a dick going into this girl. And that's really, to me, overt. Or like the word sex would be in ads for ice. Like you could actually look at the ice and see the three cubes stacked on one another had like shadows in it that said sex. That's a bit of what I'm talking about. Like where you don't really realize you're looking at it, but you're kind of turned on, especially in a more repressed time like the 50s, who at the mention of sex, but you don't know you're seeing it. I think it's technically illegal. I don't know, though. And I think there's even certain films that used to put, like, flash frames in it of, like, something erotic. You know, a single frame, which, again, at 24 frames a second, you're not seeing, but the idea is your subconscious is. So now you're drawn to that thing or turned on by that feeling. Anyways, that's real stuff. I'm not making this up. Again, not conspiracy. This is documented real stuff. It's what's happening now. Of course it's what's happening now. There's no way this isn't happening now. It's just like performance-enhancing drugs in athletics. Of course athletes are on drugs, let's say in the cycling world. You know, the 7-year statute of limitations, basically, that the Cycling Federation, that all the anti-drug organizations have, you look how many cyclists, 7 years after it, admit to doping. Oh, but now we're clean. No, now you're taking the thing that's not detectable yet. And of course you are, because look at Lance Armstrong. That guy had everything stripped from him, had all these lawsuits, was found guilty of everything, and he still just hangs out and golfs. You know, so within that guy's scope, yeah, he doesn't get to retire with all the laurels he was hoping when he's 80 and, you know, but he's still a multimillionaire. Right? So apparently the penalty for doping and winning is people go, oh, you're a jerk, and you still get to be a multimillionaire. I think he sold a home, maybe. Poor guy. You know, and by the way, for all his insanity and for all his arrogance and for all he did, I'm still a Lance fan for no reason. I just like the guy. You know, it's like, I don't even think I'd like to hang out with him, but you know, anyways, the guys who did all the doping he did got 6-month bans in the off season, and all their titles still stand. So again, there definitely was a misappropriation or misallocation of punishment. That's no doubt. Whether or not you think he deserved it because of how aggressively he'd attack people who tell the truth, I'd agree with you there. I mean, and that's kind of my point, is of course you're going to keep cheating. And of course you're going to keep playing on the minds of anybody who'll go along with the thing that'll make you a billionaire, right? So, and by the way, none of this is legal. Like, the way that advertising comes in, this or that, I'm sure there's ways you can block it. I'm sure every time they come out with a new version, we sign off on it. Again, it's all good. I just want to know that if I'm trying to live a good, I'm not going to use the urban monk term too much yet. Wait for it, though. I'm like Chet Morton and Hardy Boys. We've talked about that. This is my new fad. It's how to be healthy and complete. And, you know, I used to do this stuff. When I was at first year university, I'd, like, take a Mr. Submarine sandwich. And I think I just read Way of the Peaceful Warrior. And so I was really in, like, I think in one of the episodes in the book, you know, he learns how to actually massage his muscles so that them being super taut, which he'd always believed as a young man was the best, he was actually learning from this old man Socrates that a looser version is actually better, more supple, stronger, healthier. And I think there's one thing where he spends 7 or 8 hours massaging his muscles. until they're down to that soft, supple, but responsive thing. So I'd read this. I was new to karate. I was new to Zen. I was new to even this idea of, you know, monk. By the way, wasn't an actor yet, so I wasn't shit fucking monkey insane like we all are. So whatever, there was just versions of this kind of thinking around that were new to me. And so I'd get like a submarine sandwich from the commissary at the Delaware residence at Western, and I would take a bite, and until every single bit was out of my mouth and swallowed, I wouldn't take another bite. This was a way to explore food. And I think it took me 45, 50 minutes to eat a sub one day. Or one day I just lay on the grass looking up at the moon and decided, can I take 20 minutes to open my hands and then 20 minutes to close my hands? It was harder than being punched in the face. The restraint needed, the blah, blah, blah. So these are all the different ways that in the past I've played with these ideas of, let me get off the beaten path of like, wake up, Instagram, Facebook, have a coffee, go to work, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm trying to rejuvenate some of that excitement about all this again. So we're not going to steal that urban monk mantle yet, but if I want to live that full and healthy anything, I just don't think I can let a voice in my head, i.e. the voice of advertising, tell me I'm not enough before I've even had my morning coffee. And that's really all I'm getting at. By the way, I'm at Milton, and just like that, I'm excited to go see this film again, you know. By the way, Grace and Frankie and Grace, this wonderful Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda series. Oh, these two are the best. They're the best. I really recommend this show. So I just finished the first season on Netflix. But anyways, there's the one character recommends to the other to vlog, because in speaking aloud to yourself, you can find a truth that maybe you need to hear. And I get that from this podcast, just so you know. So even in saying out loud, I'm not real excited about going to Milton because I am struggling with where the film is at in terms of any kind of business back end. I don't feel that way right now. I don't care right now is actually the point. Sometimes I can diffuse what I think matters by speaking about it honestly. And again, like we talked about a few podcasts ago, technically I'm even speaking to myself. But hey, fuck it, good enough. And I think part of the idea that you guys are going to hear it is that it keeps me honest, right? So not like speaking to myself would, I mean, you know, it seems weird because wouldn't that make you more honest if you don't think anyone's going to hear it? But then I'm not accountable. I'm not accountable if I'm saying it to myself. If I go, I'm going to go to the gym to myself and then I don't, it's a little different than Emily going, hey, I thought you were going to the gym. And then I go, yes, I am. Fuck you. I hate you. And then we go to the gym, you know? So, by the way, I was thinking about this the other day. One last thing as I make my last few turns here. I have always loved attention. And so I'm going to go to this thing, and then after there'll be a Q&A. And I've never not liked people knowing my name. And I was thinking about that in terms of acting. Because I know the cool thing is supposed to be that you're only in it for the purity of the work. And that, you know, the fame and money are, they're just like side effects of what I'd be doing anyways. Well, of course, if there was no such thing as money, I'd be doing it. But I want the money that comes from acting, and especially at a higher level than I'm even at, i.e. lots of levels, and so I want to go for that. But I love the fame. I love when people in high school who I didn't know would be like, oh yeah, you're Sean Benson. And I would get a little tweak from that. Call it ego, call it whatever the hell you want. I'm all good with whatever you call it. But it's true. And that's one thing I like knowing about myself. It's like the whole pretension idea. It's like, you're pretentious. Okay, I am. Or you like attention. Yes, I do. Now, I'm sure there's some point in our lives where we got to get over that to get then better, like to a better level of where we ultimately want to be. You know what I'm saying? What's your instinct? Okay, now go against your instinct. Sensei, you'll appreciate that where we're at with my fighting right now. Like, how are we going to get away from doing well to a certain point, but you're never going to get better than that if you just keep training the thing you're already pretty good at? So there are times where it's going to be important for me to lay off that, but it is one of those things where people are like, oh, I'd hate to be famous. And I'm like, I wouldn't. And when people are like, oh, but what if you're really mobbed? Like, when you see all those people taking photos of Amy Winehouse in the documentary, I'm like, yeah, let's put it this way. If you want, if right now there was a car following me wanting to take photos, if what I get back from that is $10+ million a year, and then getting to pick all my scripts, and then Emmy Rouge gets to release its album and sell 800,000 copies because I'm famous, and blah, 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 sign me up. Sign me up, my friends. Again, because I like the attention. And that's something Emily and I talk about. She's not like that. She's much more of a sort of pure talent and a pure, she's more of a pure response mechanism where she genuinely just wants to act and doesn't actually want to be famous. I mean, she wants respect with her community, and I shouldn't maybe be speaking for her, but big picture, she doesn't want, when she sees like that level of fame, she's like, God, I hope I never have that. And I'm like, oh, I'd love that. I would love it. So I look forward, even if there's just 20 people and one guy's really into the movie. I like the fact that I can chat with that guy and answer those questions and, you know, whatever. I don't know. I don't know what that says. I don't care. I like it. Hence the podcast. Okay, I'm going to take a little break. I'll let you guys know how it went, and we'll wind her up for the day with a song again. Hey, all y'all. So I just listened back to a bit of the podcast. It sounds like the mic hits a bit. Sorry about that. You know, sorry about that. I know that the one with Katie was a little echoey in the studio. We're doing what we can here, folks. We're doing what we can, and we're proud of it. Man, you know, I'm just so proud of that movie. I don't want to go on and on about it, but just watched the film again, did the Q&A, met some awesome people, and it reminds me how much we can do when we want to do something. The guy who was moderating was talking about how, you know, the desire to direct a film, you got to be crazy. And it was a bit of his hook, although he was a very genuine guy, so there wasn't anything cheap about it. He wasn't trying to be funny at the director or, you know, talent's expense. But I said to him after, I said, you know, you're right. I mean, there is something beyond reason about what it took to make that film and what I'm still sort of doing with all that financing post-production stuff. I said, but to me, what's so much more unreasonable is not doing it when it's what you want to do. You know, well, like, Jesus, imagine going, man, I'd love to go to Spain, and not going. That is fucked. That is prison. That is death. So I just saw the movie Room. Oh, please go see this. Do yourselves the favor. I think it's gut-wrenching and heart-wrenching. It's so much better than I thought it was going to be. Sean Bridgers, who plays old Nick in it, is a real good friend of mine. Actually stayed with me and Emily during the shooting, and because we could both relate to the feelings you have to kind of go to play a not awesome person, and he wanted the freedom to walk in the house feeling shitty. Or not shitty, that's not the word. Maybe being shitty. He never was, but just the freedom to have that. And he knew we'd provide it because we get it. Anyways, I knew it was going to be good, but I think that Lenny Abramson should win Best Director, and I was blown away. I was blown away. But my point is that because I think too much, I couldn't help but realize the metaphor that we always discuss here of being trapped. What room am I trapped in? What room am I trapped in? What infinite freedom of sky and love and friendship am I stuck not knowing doesn't exist because I believe my life begins and ends with a certain four walls? And again, that to me is going, I'd like to go to Spain, and then not going. I get that there's constraints in life that are maybe more real than others. I don't believe in actually leaving my body. Maybe one day I will. However, I don't know, man. Like, the more I live the life I don't want to live, the more I'm going to get really good at living the life I don't want to live. I go to the gym, I practice karate, I get good at karate. I treat Emily with what I hope is loving kindness and provide a safe and loving environment. I get good at that. And I abort my impulses to be the guy I want to be and to travel the places I want to travel. I get good at aborting impulse and not being the guy I want to be. For real, right? Like, this is just, there's nothing for which this, you know, excellence through repetition isn't true. So I don't want to be fucking excellent at being a lazy shitheel, or not even lazy, but, you know, sort of reduced version of myself. And believe me, man, think of all the things we can do to justify ourselves out of our potential. I bet you there's lots of things Stallone could have done the weekend he wrote Rocky instead of write Rocky. Yeah, he didn't have Facebook, but he could have gone down to the local bar. He's good looking, fit. He could have got laid that weekend. But he wrote Rocky. And then got laid a lot more. Like, a lot more. Right? He gave up getting laid once to get real laid. And you know, I always think about this in terms of, like, love. What cheap love are we accepting at the expense of the real love? You know, the getting laid at the pub instead of writing Rocky. Let's all write our Rockies, friends. Well, you know, and I get it that we don't always know what that is. I get that. But we always know what it isn't. I guarantee every one of us can name something in our lives that isn't that. And we just don't have the fucking sack to move away from it. And right now for me, by the way, it is eating shitty. It is eating shitty. I swear to God, I'm keeping myself from my potential because of Tim Hortons cookies and because of little tins of fucking chocolate and chocolate-covered almonds on set. And my quality control. I don't smoke right now. I don't fuck it. But man, my diet is rat shit. And it's absolutely keeping me from my potential. Go put crap octane fuel in your car. Or go put leaded fuel in your car. It's not going to be great for long. So I'm kind of riding that wave right now where I know what that is. Now, that's part of me not writing Rocky. So that thing I think I'm getting, that little piece of comfort or whatever, when I grab the extra two handfuls of chocolate-covered almonds, I may be giving up the bigger version of what that thing is. Now, whatever, fucking couple handfuls of chocolate-covered almonds. But I'm working on a set where they just get replenished, man. If I hit the bottom of that, somebody comes and fills it. So it ends up being more than just a couple. And it ends up becoming about self-esteem and control. Every time I take the cheap lay instead of the good love, my self-esteem diminishes, and now I think I'm only worth the cheap lay. Bam! 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 I was asked today in the Q&A, you know, the guy's like, so you're obviously a working actor. You seem to have a big resume, and... you know, I know you're working on something right now. And, you know, it was nice to hear that, by the way, because it's all true. And I said, yep. And then he goes, so, but I imagine you can't say no to work, you know? And I said, oh, no, you can say no to anything other than, like, nine guys with a gun coming into my house and, you know, stealing me to the diamond mine trade. I can say no to any part. And I said, you know, look, once I'm contracted to Saving Hope, yeah, I'm not really determining the tone of those episodes. But I could say no to any frickin' job because I don't like the script, I don't want to show any nudity, I don't want to whatever. I had this recently. I did a gig where I was doing some drugs. And I didn't like the feeling the week after. And I don't think I'm going to do a gig like that unless there's a real evident payoff because of what it costs me, you know? So I'm glad I did that gig.
I'll be proud of it and I'll promote it when it comes out. But I'm not going to do another one like that where I have to get real high for no good reason. And that's not denigrating the project. People get high all the time for no good reason. I don't want to do that. I just don't want to. And I'll probably change my mind in a few years. But like my buddy Neil, who doesn't want to make out with women other than his wife, that's a choice he makes. And it has certainly not affected his career in any negative way. And I don't see choosing not to do cocaine on camera unless I truly believe in the art of it. Like really believe it. Like nudity. I don't have a real problem with nudity, but I'm not just going to show my dick on camera for a joke or for fun. You know, there's, it's got to be part of a context. And although, you know, we don't always know if it's going to pan out, right? I was doing one film that asked for all these sex scenes. I had no problem with it. I had no problem with the nudity or the implied whatever. And when I got on set, I was like, this is going to be a piece of shit. No one's going to see it. The director is clueless, absolutely clueless, like doesn't fucking know anything. Half the reason I became a director. And I decided to make my exposure in that thing zero. So I'm not nude in that film, and the simulated sex is fairly brief. I felt very comfortable once I realized how uncomfortable I'd have been offering more than what that thing required. You know what I'm saying, is like, everything is worth offering for the right thing, but everything isn't worth offering for a cheap return. It's just not something I feel like doing. It feels too, it just, I don't want to feel cheap. And that's the thing about saying no. There's so many things you can do. There's so many things I can do. I could go sell Porsches and become rich. I know I could. And have a good life. So I don't need to like do shitty gigs. Again, that the one thing I'm talking about, the drugs, is not a shitty gig. But you know what I'm getting at. I don't need to ultimately keep going, well, I can't say no. Well, I can't say no until eventually... Oh, I'm just doing, you know, fucking train porn. Not that that would be a bad thing. So I don't want, that's a bad example, because train porn's something that's pretty awesome. As long as I'm the caboose. Wait a minute. No, the flipped caboose. I'd want to be the one. I want to be the front of the train. Does this make sense? I want to be hit hard by all the cars coming into the station, y'all. These are steam trains. Know what I'm saying, y'all? This ain't no, what's the fast one? You know, the super rail. All right. We're going to do one last song homage. This is a fucked up time, though, man. You got Lemmy. I don't know enough Motorhead to do it. You got Joe Cocker, which sucks, but he's too distinctive for me to do anything. Plus, You Are So Beautiful to Me. Yeah, it's Joe Cocker. Yeah, I heard the Joe Cocker first, but I'll always relate that to Three's Company. But anyways, I'm going to get off the road here, and we're going to wind her down with a little tune. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. I haven't posted the last podcast with the Glenn Fry yet, which I'll post tonight, post this tomorrow. But anyways, let me know what you guys think. I think what I'm also going to do, by the way, is set up a Chatting Between Takes Facebook page. And the simple reason is, so people, I have my privacy settings on my Facebook. I always say to people to write me on whatever, and I get like a bunch of friend requests a day, but if I don't know the people, I don't accept it. Those might be Chatting Between Takes, folks. You might be trying to friend me. So I'm wanking because I'm not letting you guys be in on the conversation that I want you to be in on. So I think I'm going to do that, set that up, and that way people can post and comment on the apps and you guys can chat with each other about it, and we'll see where we end up. We'll be a little bit democratic about all this. Okay, you guys are the best. Thanks for joining me on the drive to and fro the Milton Film Fest. Great film fest, by the way. It's 2.5 days. You know, they're starting small. They're in their third year. And if you look at it, you can see that they really, they really have a great slate. And I think it's smart to be smaller with a great slate than to go too big too soon. Let the slate grow as the quality grows, not the not hope you'll catch up. If you build it, they will come. Okay, I grew up on Field of Dreams. If you haven't seen this movie, it's fucking brilliant. But I grew up on this. I don't know that that's always true. You know, I think there's a lot of guys or girls standing around with their genitalia in their hands going, but I fucking had the business plan, and I got the storefront on Queen West, and now I'm broke a year later and can't cover my second year of my lease. You have to build it well. You know, the business plan might not have been sound is all. You know, so that stuff has to be vetted. If you build it, they will come if it's well built and awesome. And again, even something like Barn Wedding. I built it, they came, but it's still not built well enough for the rest of the people to come. You know, the quality control inspector's like, yeah, your bleachers aren't good enough here, so we're interested, but you got to get this up to code. And that's actually a pretty good analogy. And then you're like, oh, well, I thought if I built it, they'll come. It's like, no, you have to build it right, you have to build it well. Don't let that be the turn to building it, but they won't just come. This brings me, by the way, to the Porsche markets, because Porsches are insane in price right now. So what happened is a car that was worth 20 grand a few years ago is now worth 60. And the joy of the hobby, which is that if you build it, they'll come, right? You're not going to build a fucking ball diamond in your back farm if you don't just want to. You have an inspiration and a need. And the reward should just be that you built it and you enjoyed building it. Again, even in a beautiful movie like that, the reward, well, no, that is kind of, you know, whatever. I don't want to give the movie away and get into all that, but we tend to attach, I just bought it because I wanted to, and then it tripled in value. Well, the success story should just end it, I bought it because I wanted to. Because as soon as something's worth triple, now I'm worried about driving it the way I want to, or doing with it what I want to, because it might not be prudent. Well, going to Spain might not be prudent either. How many non-prudent things need to be balanced? This one I don't know, because here, for me, the perfect example is Emily. I would not have met her if I had not gone off the rails with drugs and destroyed my career. Truly, I'd still be in LA. I'd have made $1 million off General Hospital, and I'd have moved on to something else with ABC or still be on the show. And I don't think I'd have met that young, awesome, talented, gorgeous redhead who, you know, is one of my greatest life's joys is that relationship that we tend to, the garden of it. I built this garden for us. Chatting Between Takes mug. Who's that? Dave Steele, I know you're going to know that one. Anyways, I don't know always where the balance is between do what you want, what's the worst that could happen, and, well, the worst that could happen is actually going broke. Because I qualify everything with, I don't have kids, man. I look forward to it, but I don't today. So if I make a mistake, hey, you know, no young infant doesn't get fed or left alone and, like, lose a limb because I'm a dick or off being whatever. So, anyways, fucking do it. Go to Spain, bitches. Go to Spain. That said, I just held off buying another Porsche because it made no sense investment-wise, even though the one I was looking at will go up in value. What it would have cost me to get it would have stolen too much money from essentially my savings. And then if anything goes sideways, I'm fucked. And I start to lose the ability to say no to teaching, to shooting, to whatever. It always goes back to this. Dance like no one's watching, question mark? No. Dance like a stripper with two kids and a mortgage, because then you might fucking do something worth watching. Instead of that hippie shit, dance like no one's watching my ass. All right, we're gonna record a song for y'all in a sec. You're the best. And that's a wrap on the chatting portion of this app. All right, so let's see.
I'm going to try this one on piano. We're going to try and throw out a little love to Bowie here. And, yeah, let's just see what happens. I hope this sounds pretty good in the room. It's probably going to be a little bit echoey. What are you going to do, huh? A little bit of reverb, a little bit of concert hall. Let's see what goes on. Boom. Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on. Check ignition and may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade. And the papers want to know whose shirts you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare. This is Major Tom to ground control. This is Major Tom to ground control. I'm stepping through the door and I'm floating in a most peculiar way. And the stars look very different today. Let me go up here. For here am I floating around my tin can, far above the world. Where do we go from there? That would be minor. World. B flat major 7. Let's see how this goes. Planet. No idea why that's not working. Planet. And there's nothing I can do. Let me figure this out. Hold on. This is F major 7, I think. Here am I floating on my tin can. Far above the world. Planet Earth is blue. That's minor. There we go. Planet Earth is blue, and there's nothing I can do. That would be then F. Woo! There you go. I'm afraid old man Bowie's a black star, and he's also turning in his grave. What are you gonna do? Love you, David Bowie.